Hey, everybody. My name is Damara West, and I'm founder of Be Well, Beautiful Woman, where we help women to center their healing and liberation so that they can lead and live lives on their own terms. And I am delighted to welcome you into the Women Who Write to Liberate Summit. And I have a treat for you on the lineup. But before I do that, let me tell you a little bit about this summit, right? It's comprised of female writers and those that support the craft of writing to inspire women just like you to find their authentic voice and use it in ways they feel most inspired to, including writing the first or that next book. But it's so much bigger than that. It's about tapping into our authentic voice so that we can co-create the life of our dreams. Our voice is truly our biggest manifestation flex. And as we tap into it, we can increase our influence, we can increase our coin, we can increase alignment, and we can reach the people that only we uniquely are called to reach. Let me tell you about my guests on the lineup. LaVon Briggs is the author of Sensual Faith, The Art of Coming Home to Your Body. She's an Emmy Award winner. She's a body and sex positive womanist preacher and speaker. She's the host of Sensual Faith podcast and the author of the book that I just told you all about. She is also the co-host of Sanctified, a faith-based Spotify exclusive podcast on Jemele Hills. Yes, Jemele Hills, Unbothered Network. She's a spiritual life coach and a TEDx speaker. She's been featured in Essence, Cosmopolitan, Rolling Stone, and The Washington Post based on her expansive work. And she's Sojourners named, and Sojourners named her one of the 11 women shaping the church. That's a big naming, my sister. We're going to be talking about that and all kinds of things.
Okay.
Yes. And she's also the graduate of the Lawrenceville School, Seton Hall University, Yale Divinity School, and Columbia Theological Seminary. She's a native of New York, but she is currently residing in New Orleans, Louisiana. Sister, I am so glad that you're on this line.
Sister, thank you for having me. I appreciate you so much.
Yes. Oh my gosh. This has been in the works forever. And I'm so glad that Source Universe God saw fit for us to be together at this time.
We had this conversation a while ago. I mean, what is time? Anyway,
yes, it is time. And what you got going on is like fitting for this book, Sensual Faith, right? You got your robe, your setting is all right. I feel like I should have a robe on too, to like bask in this.
If you want to grab one, be my guest, beloved. I've got my water here in my champagne flute.
Oh
this
my God.
This is what we mean by sensual faith. I know for some people, faith can be a word that activates something in you because of its ties to religion, typically a colonized religion. But faith is really how you express what you believe, right? So I can have faith in sisterhood, which I do. I can have faith in Black women and Indigenous women and women of color. I can have faith in that this sofa is going to hold me up, right? Yes. It's really about decolonizing and liberating religious and cultural teachings that don't serve us to be the most liberated women we're called to be.
I love that. And so that's a great segue into your title. I love it so much. So talk to us about sensual faith, right? Mm-hmm. And what is it? And why is it so important to our liberation?
Yeah, sensual faith is an invitation for women to live their spirituality from a place of pleasure rather than shame. For many women, particularly Black women and women of color, we were raised in Christian traditions that taught us to be at war with our bodies. And so my hope for sensual faith is that it is a guide, a safe space, a playground, if you will, for women to reintegrate their spirituality, their sensuality, and their sexuality.
Oh, I love that because, you know, as you talked about, many of our faith orientations have caused us to think about our connection to our bodies just as the ability to bring life into the world if by chance that, you know, that is our pathway in life.
Right. Yeah. And that's the thing about being a woman. That word is loaded, and depending on how you define or identify, it can mean different things. But woman does not equate with childbearer, right?
Yes.
Woman does not equate with derived from a man. Like, that's not, like, we are whole beings. We are, I believe, spiritual creatures having a physical existence. Mm-hmm. So whichever shape you decided to take, my belief system says that you knew that that's how you're going to come to the earth. That you were like, I want to be in this body. I want these breasts and these hips and this booty and these stretch marks and these rolls. Right. I wanted this because it's going to serve me best for this journey. So that has helped me to see the divinity in womanhood, particularly as how I identify as a woman. Also, and I'll close with this part, that for those of us who received teaching that was steeped in patriarchy, a lot of our language about the divine, creator, source, God, universe, light, energy has been male centric. And so we are divine beings. We get to claim that language for ourselves. And so it's a way to see ourselves so that the closer we get to goodness and to godness and bigness, the closer we get to each other. So really it's about oneness, but you got to be one with yourself first. And you can't do that if you're at war with your body.
Yes. You know, this is a very unique spin when we're talking about folks who are on the lineup, right? And which is why I wanted you to be here to represent this space of divine femininity, divine womanism. And I like that you use the word womanist, right? Versus feminist. And many people aren't even familiar with that term.
Sure.
And so talk to us about, like, what does it mean to be a womanist versus being a feminist?
Yes, honey. So womanist is a term that was coined by the illustrious Alice Walker in 1979, and she used it for the first time in an essay in 1983. And if you've never read the definition of womanist, I highly encourage you to Google it, research it, because it's giving snaps, it's giving body rolls, it's giving, you know, shimmies. Also, and that was in 1983, okay? We're in 2023. And so if you were to take one of the explanations, which is womanist is to feminist as purple is to lavender, and I'm in my purple today, child, the divine alignment doesn't stop.
Yes.
Womanist is to feminist as purple is to lavender. That basically means that as Black women, Indigenous women, women of color, we have a deeper experience because of our race, our ethnicity, our background than white women. Because if we're honest with ourselves, sisters, when white women were creating the school of thought that we call feminism, they weren't including Black women and brown women in that, right? And similarly, when we can look to the civil rights movement and Black folks were out here and fighting for human rights, sometimes, many times, our sisters would experience patriarchy and sexism at the hands of brothers. And so being both Black and woman means that I'm those two things at the same time, all the time. Right? Yes. It's a part of my divine makeup. And so womanism centers the experiences, vantage points, and perspectives of Black women. Also having an eye towards the liberation of all Black folks, all folks, and those who support us. So that's a bit about why I identify as a womanist as opposed to a feminist.
Yeah, I actually have a pen that's purple that I had made that says womanist.
Oh, period.
One and of the additional ways, right, that we are aligned in sync. I love that. Okay. So using this word pleasure, which deeply resonates with me, and it means so many things. And when we think about all of the ways in which, and particularly when we're talking about sexual pleasure, and that's not, of course, just the pleasure that we're talking about, we wouldn't have all these ways that we could be turned on, if you would. If it wasn't meant for us to experience pleasure. So for people who are very out of touch with the design of the body and the way in which we're supposed to experience pleasure, what do you have to say to women like that?
Yeah, such a lovely, beautiful question, Damara. So let me start with a principle around sensuality. If you look up the word sensuality in like a dictionary, it'll probably say something like lewd, lascivious, right? I define sensuality as the ultimate practice in mindfulness, right? If your faculties are working, because we have folks who are disabled, differently abled, you can see, you can touch, taste, feel, smell, right? Like, we live very textured lives. And if we don't give into the desire of engaging that texture, our lives can be flat and dull. And so you have the capacity to see and touch and taste and feel, but you're not always present in that moment. So mm-hmm. sensuality is about, how am I right now? Have I eaten? Am I hydrated? Did I take my meds? Do I need a nap? Do I need to call my person, right? To tap in with how are we feeling in our body. And then the next layer of that is to honor the needs that your body, because your body's always talking to you, to mm-hmm. honor that. Yeah. And then to the extent that it's possible to meet that need and exceed that need. And so now, if you need a cup of tea, right? Now we're warming it up. Now we're smelling the rose. Now we're feeling the warmth of the mug. You know, we're sipping it and we're really feeling the warmth come down our throat chakra and just heal, right? That is a sensual life to me. Now, sensuality and sexuality inform each other, but they're not interchangeable. They're not the same thing. Sexuality is what's going on with your loins, child. What's going on with your pussy? What's happening, you know, in the nether regions? Mm-hmm. And I believe that if we can honor that sensuality is in fact a spiritual practice, that will enhance our sexuality. Mm-hmm. So the part that I think you're getting at is that for women, we are the only creatures in all of creation who bear a clitoris. Mm-hmm. And a clitoris has one sole delicious function. So that's how I know that the creator designed me to experience pleasure. Yes. Healthily, consensually, ethically, yes. Also, Anne, she got one job, friend.
That's it. Let her work.
And she'll work if you work her. And if you don't know what you like, right, you won't be able to really experience that pleasure. So there are a few things happening here. And I'll close this part by saying that one, if you receive teaching around your body being shameful, masturbation being evil or, you know, nasty. Mm-hmm. I really want you to interrogate, like, who taught you that and why would they teach you that, right? Yeah. Because if your clitoris exists, it's supposed to be here. And if it only has one use, that means you get to use it, right?
Yes. And then
the second part is to release that shame and to get to know your body. Have you ever seen your vulva? Do you know what she looks like, right? Then the third part is get to learn your body so that you can bring pleasure during self-pleasure, but so with your partner or partners, you can also have fun and explore and guide with them as well. Because you deserve all the pleasure in the world, honey.
Thank you. All of it. All of it, right? We do not have to keep it contained, which is why your body of work is so important.
Yes.
You know, and I say often to women whether you're with someone or not, you should be engaging in self-pleasure, right? Like, we are meant to have sex. That's one of the basic things that are foundational to being human.
Right. And not just to procreate.
Because
if that were the case, then only straight people would have the capacity to experience pleasure.
That's it.
It's a celebration of all of who we are, our queer kin, our trans kin, our non-gender conforming kin. Like, everybody deserves to experience pleasure that is healthy, consensual, ethical, and pleasurable.
Yes, yes. And so for those people who are listening and that, and I'm sure that, you know, I know your body of work touches on this, but women often experience sexual trauma, right? And that sexual trauma can disconnect ourselves from ourselves. Absolutely. And cut off, either it can overstimulate or it can understimulate, right? Sure. That part of ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, what's one tip that you have for women to be able to own their body again, to begin to come back into their body after being a victim and then a survivor of a sexual crime?
Yeah, well, for starters, dear sister, I see you, I hear you, I acknowledge you, and I believe you. Mm-hmm. And what happened to you was wrong, and it was not your fault, and there was nothing you could do to stop it or prevent it. The divine is pissed about it, your ancestors are pissed about it, and mm-hmm. I'm pissed about it. And so I want to start with belief always, always, always.
Yes, yes.
So I write about this in my book in chapter 5, because I survived violence as a child and as an adult. And now that I'm thriving on the other side, one three tips. I know you asked for one. I'm gonna give three.
Is
to feel your feelings, right? For a long time, I thought I was supposed to forgive and forget, let go and let the divine, and that just did not work. I was angry. I needed to feel that. I also needed to get in talk therapy. And I know talk therapy isn't for everyone, but it's been helpful for me. And I encourage you to try it. Try it again. You know, finding a therapist is like finding a boo. So you got, if it don't work, thank you for, you know, the blessing. Thank you for the lesson and on to the next. Mm-hmm. And then the last part, which is probably the most fun one for me, is to get to know your body at your own pace. And one of the ways that I like to do that is by dancing naked in the mirror. Mm. It's sorcery. Okay. It is empowering. It's sexy. It's sensual. And some people are like, well, I can't dance naked. That's okay. Put on a robe or some really cute lingerie. Or if you got to start with some workout clothes, like just get used to seeing your body moving with your agency, right? And under your control and power, and start to remember and conjure that energy of sovereignty, because you are sovereign. What happened to you was not your fault, and it wasn't your responsibility to stop, but the after effect and the aftermath is your responsibility to heal.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for giving us three, right? Because it clearly giving us one would have felt incomplete. Mm. Like even just leaning into the affirmation of this experience that is deeply impactful, right? And that people do have to live with for the rest of their lives. Yep. And yet this invitation to somatically, to move back into the body and to do it in ways that are in our private time, moving in ways that feel right for us. And I know that a lot of times we may not think about dance as a way to heal, but in fact it is. And oftentimes, you know, we're trying to do these structured dances, and yet it's not necessarily the natural way that our body is calling us to move. And we're restricting that, which is also restricting what you're offering us outside of just the context, of course, of sexual trauma. It's restricting our flow of energy that is meant to be moved, right? So, and as we move our hips, as we, I mean, that's that creative outlet
that we're sacral chakra.
You see us moving together. We don't even need music.
We don't, because it's in us. That's the thing. It's innate. It's already in you. Everything that you need is already on the inside of you. Now you get to learn to trust it on an ongoing basis. Because to your point, Damara, the pleasure center, that womb, the yoni, right? That's sensual and creativity as well. And again, not just procreation with human children, but like your ideas. And so as a liberated woman who writes, you are always channeling ideas. You're always thinking through characters, plots, quotations, research, like depending on what you're writing, right? Mm-hmm. And so here's the thing, you're brilliant, you're intellectual, you can think with the best of them, and you're sharp-minded, but also some things can't be thought through. Mm-hmm. Some things you gotta feel through, right? Ooh. I don't believe in writer's block, Damara. Mm. I believe when I'm stuck or I feel stuck, that means that something needs my attention. So is there a truth I'm not willing to honor? Is there something I'm repressing? Am I trying to protect someone by not sharing this thing that my pen or my laptop clearly wants to channel, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, do I need a nap? You're stressed trying to brainstorm and having and sitting on Zoom for 3 hours when really you need a nap and an orgasm.
Right? Hello, sign me up for that.
The idea, you go to sleep, right? And have a dream or wake up with inspiration. Now you're like, oh, I tapped in. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, let's say you think of something that you're calling in. Maybe it's a new virtual assistant. Maybe it's a mate, whatever. You think about that while you're masturbating. And as you climax, you speak that thing out. Mm-hmm. Like you have tools and resources that are not just intellectual.
Yeah,
that is the power of being a woman. Our being is powerful.
Yeah. You know, I so appreciate how you've laid this out, because I don't think that we would associate resistance with block. And yet, when I think about this, it is a form of resistance, right? Mm-hmm. Because there isn't that channel of creative flow that's happening that is allowing us to create the very thing that we were destined to.
Right.
But I imagine also that listeners didn't necessarily associate having an orgasm with having their next good idea, right? And I love
it all
that.
Works together. Because in my belief system, I have an African-centered cosmological worldview. There's no separation between what's sacred and secular, right? Mm-hmm. You are a whole divine being. So whether you are in prayer or meditation, whether you are dancing sensually in your mirror or you are fucking, all of that is holy, right? Yes, when people are like, well, how do you make it spiritual? It is spiritual. And as creators, I believe we're co-creating with the creator, with our community, with our shiniest self, right? And so it's not necessarily for us to brainstorm and pick apart and identify. It's more for us to channel and conjure and wonder and play, and the solution will present itself.
Wow. This is really important, you know, what you've highlighted, this whole question around, you know, how do we make sex sacred? Mm-hmm. And you said it, it is sacred.
It is sacred.
I think that we make things so much more challenging than what they are. Mm-hmm. And it becomes a sacred practice simply by cultivating our own sacredness, right?
Right.
And then everything becomes sacred from that place.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing. We write and we create and we run businesses and we do all this beautiful thing, all these beautiful things, but we did it within a culture of industrialism and patriarchy. And so for some of us, we felt like we needed to mimic the powers that be in order to be successful. But what we're learning in the Aquarian age for my astrology girlies, right? Is that divine masculine energy of logic and brute force and linear thinking, that's not going to work. That didn't work when we had to shelter in place.
Yeah.
That didn't work when we, you know, pivoted to being 100% digital. And it doesn't work that way. You have to be more fluid and entrepreneurial and creative. And that's divine feminine energy. So we need a healthy balance of both. But I think we're seeing that we can do business without that antiquated, outdated, patriarchal, forceful way of doing it, that we get to do it our way. And it's much more flowy and sensual and fun.
Yeah, you just said a word. Okay, so on top of, you know, gifting us with this beautiful, expansive work, your work has also been featured in major media outlets. And so from Cosmopolitan, from the Washington Post, from Essence. And so talk to us about how those doors opened for you.
Let me tell you something. I always tell people God is my PR agent, okay? Because the way I have not pushed myself, what it is though, is that I am vulnerable. Vulnerability is my superpower. I am upfront. You know, I wear my interests on my sleeve. I'm not afraid to let people know, hey, I'm looking for a book agent. Mm-hmm. Hey, if you ever need a speaker, please think of me, right? Yeah. And I'm authentic. I'm myself. I do all my healing work behind the scenes. So when I show up, I can be in flow, right? Yeah. Y'all are not necessarily seeing the grieving, the crying, the snotting, the wailing, me crumpled in the bed in front of my altar, journaling, doing breath work, right? All of that is a part of the process too. Business plans are nice.
Yeah.
Course offerings and launches are cute, but what is nourishing you behind the scenes so that when you show up, you're clear, you're tuned in and tapped into your desire, right? And then you are spiritually aware of where you want to be.
Yeah.
We gotta have the spiritual part in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about numbers. Because the fact of the matter is, I'm sure there are people who have PR agents who would love to be featured in Essence. Who wouldn't?
Mm-hmm.
But I did the work that in the words of Reverend Dr. Katie Geneva Cannon, I did the work my soul must have. And I showed up and I enjoyed it. And I influenced people and they took notice of me. And so it's really about alignment and unfolding. Align and unfold.
God is my PR agent. I just feel like we could just be done right now. Right? Like, what more is there to say, right? And everything that you said regarding your own liberation is so critical, because we know that there are folks in this healing, in the spiritual, in the liberation space that aren't actually doing their work, and their energy is not very clean, right? They're not very kind. They can't flow within their words the way that someone might when they are in that spiritual state. And so this is so critical, because back to your word earlier, this is sacred. And when you allow someone in your life, when you allow a book in your life like Sensual Faith, when you read an article by someone like you, what we know that we're getting is we're getting the real deal.
Right.
We're getting the real deal, right? Mm-hmm. There's alignment in that. And, you know, what I also appreciate about what you have imparted to us is that in order for us to be free, we have to be willing to go to these places that are really uncomfortable for us. Yep. As a point of attraction for the very thing that we're working to co-create with Source.
Exactly. And,
yeah. So that was so powerful. Okay. So let's move on now to the next exploration. So often, and you touched on this earlier.
Hold on, Demara. Can I tap
please.
In?
Oh my gosh, please do. Yes.
Because as you were speaking, you sparked something in me about feeling feelings. Mm. And for many of us, we were raised to believe that women are emotional and you're just too sensitive. And, you know, why are you crying? The divine gave us tear ducts for a reason, right? Tears are salt and water. Water is a cleansing agent and a portal. Salt is a healing agent. And it's not by accident that those are the two things that are in our tears. Yeah, and so when that shit comes up, it wants to come out. So all of the tears welling and you fighting them back, you crying in public and I'm sorry, don't apologize for crying no more. Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
We need to shift culture to be able to hold space for us to cry in public, right? Because you're healing us. If what heals you heals the collective when you're ethical and aligned and tapped in. So that when I talk about sensuality, I'm also talking about feeling grief, the pain, so that it doesn't turn into suffering, because all the stuffing leads us to suffer. You don't have to suffer.
Yes.
That's not the divine's will in your life.
I say often, don't suffer on top of the suffering. And I think that what you just offered us is a pathway into honoring what is. We don't have to stay stuck in it. And the way that we don't stay stuck actually is to just let it go. Mm-hmm. And if we try to hold on to the very things that we're naturally built to release, that we're naturally built to feel, that's really where pathology sets in. Right. And, you know, I believe that all Black, you know, all emotional ailments, all physical ailments are really rooted in Black energy, essentially. And the minute that we can honor all of that is the minute that we can really be in our true liberation framework, our true design, if you will. And, you know, when we're talking about liberation, we can't not talk about sex, right? We can't, because so many women are not in a space of liberation when it comes to that part. They may be actively involved in all kinds of other forms of liberation. But if we're not tapped into this, then we're missing the mark, right? Because so much of this is connected to every single fabric of who we are as women. Exactly. And so I want to say too, Levon, you said something earlier that I don't want to skate away from, that the reason why these doors open for you is because you were willing to use your voice. You had the courage to say, see me, I have value. Let me be in this space with you. I'm looking for this opportunity. And a lot of times we're kind of waiting, and magic can happen through the waiting, but magic can also happen through the asking, right? And knowing that balance, sister, knowing the balance between the times when we need to put ourselves out there and use our voice to execute the things that we're being called to, and the times when we're supposed to wait. right? In that flow state. And so thank you for offering that, because that is the essence of what this gathering is all about, how we tap into our voice to get the things that we're wanting in this
life. And tomorrow, because we tag team preaching now, right? Ask, wait, receive.
Yes.
And don't ask and hound and follow up and did you and can wait. And waiting doesn't mean you sit there and twiddle your thumbs. It means, what is my desire? Let me follow my joy. Let me, right? And then when it shows up, it may not show up the way you expected it to, but it's there. Mm-hmm. And I want to testify and say that people have been asking me to start a podcast for like 2 or 3 years. And finally, in 2021, I was like, am I going to do a podcast or am I going to do a YouTube channel? Because I mean, get into the cheekbones, right? Made for the camera. Also, I was like, YouTube is going to be much more work. Like with a podcast, I could just send it to somebody and keep it pushing.
Yeah.
I started it September 2021. January 2022, I get an email from Christina Tapper. Christina is an executive producer at Spotify and the head of content for Jemele Hill's Unbothered Network. I met Christina at a wedding in July 2013. Wow. We went to an afternoon wedding. There was a group of about 10 of us. We were like, we look too good to go home. Where are we going next? And we spent the rest of the afternoon together. We followed each other on social media. I started the podcast because it was burning in me. I didn't know who was listening. When she emailed me and she said, Sensual Faith Podcast is one of my favorite podcasts of 2021. And I want to invite you to interview for this role. I was like, what?
Wow.
And so I interviewed and we negotiated contracts. And now I co-host a Spotify exclusive podcast. Sis, start the thing. It's in you. Whatever you wake up thinking about, what wakes you out of your sleep, what you could talk about for hours on end, please don't for free. Don't talk about on hours on end for free. But what you could, that's telling you something, right?
Yeah.
Some of us get well known for something that we don't have a deep desire to do. Mm-hmm. And so, but this is what's being bringing in the money. This is what's giving us 6-figure months. But if you hate it, what's the cost?
Yeah.
Fuck your profit. What is it costing you to make money doing something that you hate?
So, you know, we are. Listen, I know we had these questions, but
I know
this is the real talk. This is
the real talk, honey.
You know, there's a couple things I want to say about this. When you said ask, wait, receive, that is part of a manifestation formula, not just those three words. There's a couple other ones that I use to help people to really understand what does it mean to co-create, right?
Yes.
Not passively. We're not passively doing it. Right. And what's so important about what you said, 2013, 2021, we're talking about a span of 8 years. And the fact that you said, yes, this is the direction that I want to go in,
not knowing all
the things that were going to unfold. And then to have this opportunity to not just interview, but to get it, to get it, which is
here's the cold part.
And you weren't even looking for it.
And when Christina, when I met her, she was a news journalist, like a sports journalist, excuse me. She wasn't anywhere near podcasting. Wow. We weren't thinking about podcasts and we met each other just in ease and flow and off the strength of supporting each other, sisterhood. When she asked me to write a newsletter for her mailing list, I was like, absolutely. Like we just tapped in with each other over the years. So also stop feeling like, you know, I got to get LinkedIn premium and I got to hop into DMs and I got to research the masthead and live your life. Be open to receive wherever you go. That's why you always got to make sure you feel your best when you're out and about. Did you pray this morning? Did you cry? Are you stuffing something? Did you masturbate? Are you open, right? Because you never know.
Oh my God, you are just dropping so many gifts today. And it's clear, right? The reason why you're able to do that is because you're tapped in, right? You're channeling source. And so it's so beautiful to be in space with you, to witness it, to be a part of it. So you touched on this earlier about religion, right? And so oftentimes people think of religion when they think of faith, which can deter them from doing this spiritual work that is really necessary for our liberation. Yeah. And so for folks that are resistant to embracing this idea of faith in their lives, what do you have to say to them about this connection between their spirituality?
Yeah. And so there are a lot of people who identify as spiritual, but not religious. And I get that. Also, studies show that Black women are the most religious demographic in the country. And so there's that as well. Mm-hmm. So what I want to offer folks is that the word religion is from the Latin ligare, which means to fasten or to bind. And we all learned in grade school that re means you do something again. And so your religion should refasten you to God or should rebind you to God. And many of us were habituated within religious belief systems that separated us from God and from our own divinity. And so when I think about religion, I think about colonized systems of thought. That's not what I'm talking about. Decolonize that shit, liberate that shit, right? When I'm talking about spirituality, I'm talking about, when I talk about faith, I'm talking about what you believe. And when I'm talking about spirituality, I'm talking about how do you live out what you say you believe, right? Mm-hmm. So if I believe that I am worthy, I'm going to live that a certain way. If I believe that the divine is an expansive source of creativity and abundance, I'm going to live that way. Then that becomes my spiritual practice. Sensuality is my spiritual practice. Mm. If I had to choose a religion, I would say champagne is my religion. Okay. Pop the bottle. It's one of my favorite sounds in the world. It's why I drink water out of a champagne flute. This is communion.
Oh my God, that was good. Listen, you make me want to go pop a bottle of champagne.
Period. And that's another thing. Why are you waiting to pop the bottle? Pop the bottle today. As a matter of fact, at the end of it, when you finish watching this conversation, I want you to go pop a bottle or call up your girls and go to happy hour. If you don't imbibe alcohol, get you some sparkling cider. Celebrate today. Mm-hmm. Celebrate everything. Okay. Oh. And so that's what religion and faith and spirituality is about me. The last thing that I'll say is the word ritual is in the word spirituality. Mm-hmm. So if you are spiritual, but not religious, but you don't have ritual, you're not really spiritual. Ritual says, stop the clock, bump capitalism, bump this false sense of urgency, bump this matrix and this false sense of time. And right, I am going to take a moment to meditate. I'm going to take a moment to breathe. I'm going to take a moment to nap. I'm going to check in on my homegirl. Like that is ritual. That is holy. Community with God and your ancestors and your highest self and your people, that is religion for me.
Yeah. It's clear that when you talk about sensuality, we're talking about everything. We're talking about saying yes to life. We're talking about celebration. We're talking about leaning into our purpose. Yeah. We're talking about everything, but it truly is about seeing sacredness in it all.
Exactly.
In it all.
That's it. And I believe that's why African and Indigenous wisdom, did I cut you off?
No. Go ahead.
Okay, that's why I believe African and Indigenous wisdom is going to save us, because European colonialism, all of that repressive patriarchy, like that's not our shit. And even if you are European descended, go research what your foremothers were doing. The ones that they were calling witches and shit. What did they believe? What did they do? Right? Because that's where we're going to find our power and our creative life force.
Okay. So you have been like every woman. You from, you have, right?
I've lived many lives.
You have had many lives, and you have combined all of them to make this beautiful brand that led you to writing Sensual Faith. So talk to us about your journey, right? And how you have made every single part work for you.
The main word that I had for 2021 was integration. And it was really important for me to bring all the parts of myself together. The childhood Christian part, the African spirituality part, the New York City Queens girl, the daughter of Caribbean immigrants, you know, the West African descendant. Like I wanted to be in a space with the cussing. Right? The talking about sex. Yeah. And I realized that I had to honor all of who I am. I had to release the versions of myself that no longer serve me. And I had to celebrate myself publicly. And once I did that, once I started sharing my story, people who were aligned on that vibration flocked to me. And so now we're co-creating community. And so I really had to do my shadow work, go to the parts of myself that's not in the bio that you read, that's not in my Instagram profile, right? Mm-hmm. And say, I love that part of myself too. And yes. There's wisdom there too. And so now that I love who I am, I'll share myself with the world because the world needs me, honey. Like, y'all need this.
Yes. And we need every single woman in this space, right?
We need you to
every single woman in this space is being called to integrate every single facet of who we are, the dark parts, those shadow parts, mm-hmm. and the parts that we are calling to illuminate, right? But all of it is a compilation of how we got to be. And all of it is meant to be relished and celebrated and curated and in a way that is really serving us. And that's the invitation. And that's real freedom is rooted in that. So as we get ready to wrap up, and you've talked about all these ways that you cultivate wellness, liberation within your own right. And I would love for you to just share a final piece of inspiration for people to tap into their sensual liberation.
So I will start by saying that family, church, and society had an agenda from the time they found out they were having a girl. And there has been a matrix of systems of oppression in this industrial, you know, capitalist society. Also, and we are bigger than any harmful system or thought or belief or group of people or agenda. We are powerful beyond measure. And that is why the world and our culture wants women at odds with ourselves. Because if we are in tune with our bodies, if we embrace our sexuality, we will be uncontrollable. The world needs women to be controllable. Yes. Be uncontrollable. Pleasure is your birthright. Pleasure is your pathway to freedom. Pleasure says, what do I want? Not what does mama want, daddy want, not what the job, the school, the husband, the kids. What do I want? And when you realize what you want, know that you are worthy to receive what you want and that you should go after that. And so leaning in with your desire can be something that you come to through the spiritual practice of sensuality. And that's my hope, is that we co-create a just, equitable, pleasurable, free world for all of creation.
Yeah, what a beautiful call to action. I am just so overjoyed that you and I came together. I'm deeply grateful, deeply Thank grateful. Highlight of my day, no question. So let folks know, because I know they're going to want to, how they can stay in touch with you and how they can purchase your book. We're going to make it super easy, of course, for them to access all that juicy content. But I do want to make sure that they can hear it right now as well.
Yeah, of course. So I'm at LaVon Briggs across all platforms. Please know at LaVon Briggs, there are so many impersonators and scammers. Please don't get got. Yes, there's one account. And you can follow me on you can follow me on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, on Instagram all the time. You can visit LaVonBriggs.com, and that's where you'll see all of my offerings, or on any social media platform, tap the link in bio. And my offerings around book proposal and content creation are available as well.
Oh my goodness. Right. So you are like, again, every woman, like, what do you not do? What do you not do? Of course, it's unlimited, right? The reservoir is unlimited.
That's right.
So I want to thank you again, Queen. Y'all heard it here. Make sure that you follow this amazing woman who is helping us to tap into our full sensuality and allow it to operate at our highest, right? To break us free from all the ways that, as you said, community, right? From the time that we were born, the ways that it was worked to strip from us. the time is now. Make sure you follow her. Make sure you purchase her book. We're going to make it super easy for you. And of course, because this is the Global Women Who Write to Liberate Summit, there are 18 other sessions to help you tap into your authentic voice so that you can co-create exactly what you desire to in this lifetime. Say yes to yourself. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for tuning in. Until next time, beauties. Ashe.
Ashe.